Well, open your Bibles, please, to Proverbs 23. Proverbs chapter 23. We're reading tonight the warning against being with gluttons and drunkards, and instead, God's charge to pursue something better, to listen, to be wise, to direct your heart in the way. Proverbs 23. We'll start at verse 15. My son, if your heart is wise, my heart will rejoice. Yes, even mine. Yes, my inmost being will rejoice when your lips speak right things. Do not let your heart envy sinners, but in the fear of the Lord continue all day long. For surely there is a future, and your hope will not be cut off. Hear, my son, and be wise, and guide your heart in the way. Do not mix with winebibbers or with gluttonous eaters of meat, for the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty, and drowsiness will clothe a man with rags. Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy the truth, and do not sell it, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice. My son, give me your heart, and let your eyes observe my ways. For a harlot is a deep pit, and a seductress is a narrow well. She also lies in wait for a victim, and increases the transgressors among men. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has complaints? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Those who linger long at the wine. Those who go in search of mixed wine. Do not look on the wine when it is red, when it swirls around smoothly, when it sparkles in the cup. At the last it bites like a serpent and stings like a viper. Your eyes will see strange things, and your heart will utter perverse things. Yes, you will be like one who lies down in the midst of the sea, or like one who lies at the top of the mast, saying, they have struck me, but I was not hurt. They have beaten me, but I did not feel it. When shall I awake, that I may seek another drink? Do not be envious of evil men, nor desire to be with them, for their heart devises violence, and their lips talk of troublemaking. Thus far, the reading of God's Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would help us to tame our hearts. Help us to desire life with you as our Father, and the joy that it brings to be wise children who raise wise children. Father, don't let us orient our lives around bodily pleasures, we pray. Rather around time with you. We ask it in the name of our Lord Jesus, who always has been your wise son, who has always made your heart glad. In his name, amen. Well, our passage, and really the broader context that we read, contrasts the two ways. The way of honoring your father and mother and listening to them on the one side, and the way of spending time with belly worshipers, the way of living for sensual experience on the other. And that's expressed here in our passage in terms of gluttony and drunkenness, and then in the next verses in terms of seeking sexual pleasure outside marriage, and then again in terms of drunkenness, and then finally, in the beginning of chapter 24, in terms of violence and troublemaking. God is contrasting for us two lifestyles. The lifestyle of the father and the family on the one side, and the lifestyle of the ungodly, the belly worshipers, the greedy, on the other. So we start with yet another statement of the correct way of life. We've seen this many, many times. Hear, my son, and be wise. Well, there's three commands here, and cause your heart to take strides in the way. This is the way of the Father. And this is, of course, the core message of Proverbs. Number one, listen. Number two, be wise. Number three, make your heart take steps in the way. We've been over these and over these and over these. This is our 81st sermon on the book of Proverbs. And I think we've discussed listening in every last sermon. Why is that? Because listening is the skill that begins wisdom. There is no wisdom without the use of the ears. What do we listen to? Well, we've talked about this. Listen to the scriptures. Listen to sermons. Listen to your fellow saints, the teaching of your church. Listen to the voice of God in nature and history. Right? We sing that song, "This is my Father's world. He speaks to me everywhere." But he speaks more clearly in some places than in others. But nonetheless, wisdom cries outside, utters her voice in the streets. You and I are called to listen. And when we listen, then we will be wise. That's not optional. That's a command. Be wise. What does that command translate into? What is the action of wisdom? Fearing God, right? Listen, my son, and fear God. Train your heart to think of God as awesome and terrible, and even fierce, but certainly as just, and a God who is angry against sin every day. Listen, fear God, and then guide your heart in the way, or fix your heart on the way, set your heart on the way. Various translations. The Hebrew contains a word that we don't have an equivalent for in English. It is the transitive form of walk. I can walk, and I can walk the dog. That would be something of the transitive form of walk. But this says, walk your heart in the way. Cause your heart to take strides in the way. Make your heart get out there and go right down the right track. Yes, it's good to get your body on the right track, to make sure that your hands and lips and feet and eyes are doing the right thing. But none of that matters unless your heart is set on the path of life, is in the way of wisdom. This verse, again, is summing up the message of Proverbs. Listen, fear God, make your heart walk on the path of wisdom. This is the Christian life. Listen to the word of God, fear the God of the word, and be wise. And fix your heart, cause your heart to walk down the way to heaven. Well, that's the way of the Father. That's the Christian life. What's the alternative? Well, verse 20 brings it up. Don't be with wine bibbers, great 17th century word, and gluttonous eaters of meat. This is the way of the greedy. And the sages are telling us, if you don't follow the way of the Father by listening, fearing God, and causing your heart to walk in the way, then this is your alternative. This is the other path. This is the path you'll be on, the path of gluttony and drunkenness. And that, of course, is where our eyes immediately skip. But the command is not, don't be a glutton and a drunkard. Did you notice that? The command is, don't be with gluttons and drunkards. What's the distinction? Why is the social component so important? Well, the first thing we might think of is Jesus eating with sinners. Wait, didn't Jesus show us a better way? Well, for one thing, we don't know that the sinners he ate with had drunkenness and gluttony as their major sins. And for another, Jesus' moral strength is greater than ours. He also dined with prostitutes. Maybe that wouldn't be a good idea for most of us. But aside from those considerations, what do social events revolve around? If it's going to be a social event, what does it have? eating and drinking. So don't be with people whose weakness is in that area. People who are given to overeating and overdrinking. Right, this is a bad idea, along the lines of spending a long evening over QuickBooks with a white-collar criminal. Or doing a little firearm shopping with a friend who has two or three domestic violence convictions under his belt. It's someone's known area of weakness. We don't participate with them in that which causes them to trip up. Is there anything wrong with eating and drinking? No, we all do it every day. We're about to do it now in the Lord's Supper. But to be with people who make that their sin of choice is essentially to join them in their sin and to learn to be like them. Don't be with these people. So of course, our first question then should be, well, our first question was about Jesus eating with sinners. Second question, what about when I eat too much? What about if I drink too much? Can I not be with myself? And the answer really is, no, you're not fit company even for yourself. The wise son doesn't want to be with himself if he's being sinful. But the longer answer is, you need to learn to say, Jesus is better than food. I enjoy listening, fearing God, and causing my heart to walk in the way more than I enjoy eating too much, drinking too much, and being with people who eat too much and drink too much. Don't befriend drunks and gluttons with the idea that you can be one too. Oh, these people eat a lot of food, so they won't judge me if I eat too much. So the wise are not saying never go to the buffet, never go to the soda fountain, because some people there are eating too much, some people there are drinking too much. It's talking about being with those overeaters and overdrinkers socially, cultivating a relationship with them. Don't do that. Why not? Well, it abuses God's gifts. Wine and meat are traditionally recognized as delicacies in just about all parts of the world. These are the best foods, the nicest foods. God is telling us, don't overdo it. Now, how do we not do that? Well, there are some common sense measures. Use smaller plates. Never let yourself eat out of the package. Take smaller portions. Don't keep ready-to-eat food around the house. Take a reasonable serving, and when it's done, stand up and go do something else instead of sitting there around the food. But that's not what the wise are talking about. They're talking about the ultimate solution, which is what? Loving Christ more than sin. Desiring the Father's way more than the greedy way. And if you do desire the Father's way more than the greedy way, you'll do the common sense things. Buy yourself some 6-inch plates and set out smaller serving spoons and smaller eating utensils. Don't be with the drunkards and the gluttons, because to befriend them is to, in some sense, assent to them, and certainly, by far, to enhance your risk of becoming like them. Who you're with is what you love. That's the message of our passage. If you're with the overeaters and overdrinkers, you're on your way to becoming one of them. And you shouldn't be with them. Instead, you should be with your Father, listening to Him. Why? Well, one obvious reason is that to eat and drink too much is to become poor. The drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty. Drowsiness will clothe a man with rags. Now, how intense is this poverty? Well, it's poverty that's so bad you can't afford clothing, the wise say. You'll be clothed in rags. You'll have to wear stuff that other people threw away. Now, In one sense, this sounds like it's coming to us from a different planet. Just a few weeks ago, the New York Times wrote this: today, food eaten outside the home and in it accounts for 10% of spending, and clothing just 2.4% here in the United States. We spend 10% of our incomes on average on food, and that includes restaurants, and only 2.5% on clothing. Yet, if we go back 100 years, in 1920, Americans spent 17% of their income on clothing. Today, we spend about 18% of our income on health care. So imagine with me a world where your clothes cost as much as your medical bills. In that world, perhaps the world in which the wise are speaking, how many financial missteps would you have to take before you could no longer afford clothing? But of course, even in our world, the wise are correct. To worship your belly, to live for what you can put in your mouth, is to become so poor that you can't afford clothing, that the average American spends 2.5 cents on the dollar purchasing. What does that mean? If you're making $50,000 a year, you spend $1,200 a year on clothing. Don't go down that way. Don't be a drunkard or a glutton, and especially don't form relationships with those people, especially not relationships that involve you eating and drinking with them. Instead, verse 22, what do? You pursue the way of the family. You honor your parents. Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. How do you honor your father and mother? Well, you listen to them. Did you notice what the verse says? Listen and do not despise. You may think that to blow off what your parents say is just a respectful way of asserting your own independence, but this disagrees. If your mother speaks, you need to listen. You don't have to agree, but you are not allowed to despise. Listen and don't despise. And indeed, the next verse says the same thing. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Wisdom and instruction and understanding. What does it mean to buy the truth? It doesn't mean paying a group of informants to bring you information. That's not the sense of buying the truth. Rather, the wise are talking about paying the price of hanging on to the truth. You buy the truth in the sense that there's a cost to hang on to the truth. And we have to be willing to pay that cost. Why should we be willing? Because we're better off with the truth. Because when we have the truth, we have Jesus. That means we're willing to put up with pain, with discomfort, with the scorn of the cool kids, with rejection by those who wanted us to come and overeat and overdrink with them. We're willing to put up with that for the sake of keeping the truth. Buy the truth and don't sell it. Get wisdom, instruction, and understanding. That means pay the price to keep these things. A life that's all about living for the truth at any cost is fundamentally different from a life that's all about living for physical pleasure at any cost. Only one of those lives is the Christian life, the life that's set on following the truth. That was, of course, the life that Jesus lived and the life that got him crucified. And it's the life that you and I have to live as well. To buy the truth is to pay with your life, your fortune, and your sacred honor to retain the truth you know. I'll give up those things, life, fortune, honor, which certainly Jesus did, but I will not give up the truth. Now, those who overeat and overdrink, right, truth is the first casualty. When the voice of conscience says, you don't need that third serving of steak. You don't need that fourth donut. You don't need cereal tonight before bed. That other voice says, but I want it, so be quiet. No, buy the truth. Pay the price because Jesus did. Remember, this is a profile of the wise son telling us what he did. He listened to his father who begot him. He did not despise his mother when she was old. Instead, he provided for her care from the cross. He paid for the truth with his life because he bought the truth and would not sell it. Not even at the price of his life. So what happens when you follow the way of the Father and the way of the family? When you listen, when you fear God, when you cause your heart to stride in the way, when you pay any price to keep the truth, what's the result? The result is joy. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. He who begets a wise child will delight in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice. Two verses in a row, and both verses, both lines, contain some word for joy or gladness. Verse 25 is also unprecedented, and it's focused on the mother. We'll talk about that in a second. But clearly, the outcome of buying the truth is joy. What are the sages saying? Do you want to wake up with that feeling of, oh, I had too much to drink last night. I had too much to eat last night. Or do you want to wake up with joy in your heart saying, I have a wise child. Christ is the wise son and he belongs to me. How do you want to live? Do you want to make your father glad? Of course, do you want to discipline your children in the fear of God and be the glad father? The wise are asking us this. How much joy did Jesus bring to his father's heart? The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. He who begets a wise child will delight in him. Would any of us dare to attempt to quantify how much joy Christ brought to the father, brings to his father? And that's what Proverbs is referring us to. Do you want to see the outcome of wisdom? Here it is. The outcome of wisdom is seen in the measure of God the Father's joy in his Son. But it doesn't stop there. Verse 25 focuses on the mother. This is the only verse in Proverbs that mentions the mother in both halves. Let your father and your mother be glad. Let her who bore you rejoice. Certainly the joy of God the Father is beyond anything we can imagine. But think about the joy of Mary that gave birth to that poem, the Magnificat, that we read a few moments ago. What was her joy like? How did she feel about the privilege of being the mother of God? The wise are asking us to consider that question. And not to say, well, that doesn't apply to me. That joy is not my joy. I'm saying, no, you can have that joy. If you raise a wise child on the earthly level, if you become a wise child, you can give this joy to your mother and father here on earth. And ultimately, you can give this joy to your Father in heaven. So it's contrasting two lifestyles for us. The outcome of one is what? Being fat and hungover. What a great life. What's the outcome of the other? Joy. The Father's joy in his wise Son. Mary's joy in her wise son. Your parents' joy in you walking in the way of righteousness, speaking what is right we talked about last week. The wise are encouraging us to get wisdom. Be wise, fear God, cause your heart to walk in the way by thinking about the outcome. I don't want to be fat and hungover. I want to make my Father glad. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, teach us to walk on this path that leads to heaven, not the path of greed that leads first to rags and then ultimately to hell. Father, help us to be with those who love you. Help us to love you, to listen to our Father who begot us, and not to despise our mother when she is old. Thank you for the joy that you have in your Son, a joy beyond all reckoning, an infinite joy, larger than anything we can even begin to think about. Father, thank you that you take delight in us as your children when we are wise. So help us to fear you. Help us to listen. Help us to cause our heart to take strides in the way. We pray these things in the name of your beloved Son, your wise Son, who makes your heart glad. Amen.